Chapter 7. Emma.
Did you pay them off? Offer to reprogram their home automation systems? Promise to name your firstborn child Monet?
Jason swivels his monitor so I can see the slides from my presentation to the museum board.
Because there is no way anyone saw this presentation and legitimately said, "That's what I want."
I slide my backpack off my shoulder and drop it to the floor before sinking into the large armchair in front of Jason's desk. A cheek-hurting grin is trying to break out, but I have to make sure I'm hearing him correctly first. They said yes? We got the funding for the prototype? Jason sits back in his large ergonomic executive desk chair and runs a hand over his face.
Yes, I got the email this morning. You have to tell me how you did it.
I slide my feet from my Crocs and push up on the arms of the chair so I can pull my feet in and sit crisscross applesauce. My black leggings stretch to accommodate, but I take a moment to adjust the way my phone is sitting in the pocket along the outside of my thigh. They said yes. My design got approved. I can't believe it. There is no holding back my squeal of excitement and my arms pump in the air to accentuate my joy. Somewhere along the way, possibly in the late hours of the evening, when I was imagining what my experience might have been like if I'd had something like this when I'd been dragged through a museum, this project had begun to matter to me.
Try to remember this is a place of business.
Jason's tone is dry, but he too is grinning. Try to remember you're my best friend before you're my boss and celebrate this win. He rolls his eyes and gives a half-hearted woo as one hand flaps in the air above his head.
Seriously.
He points at the screen.
Is this what you presented, or is there an updated set of slides on your computer?
I frown at the screen. What's wrong with the slides? He clicks back a few slides in the deck.
You gave them the minimum specs for a phone that can handle our augmented reality software.
That's important to know. I shove my hands into the pocket of my pullover hoodie. This needs to work with phones that are several years old. We can't rely on everyone having top-of-the-line new tech in their pockets.
That's why we tell clients this.
He hits a few keys and pulls up a presentation from the design team for a pitch to a car show from a few months ago. There are several models of older phones on the screen with a banner that reads, "Compatible with most common phones." Waving my hand at the screen, I say, "That is not very specific."
That is all the customer cares about.
I huddle deeper into my hoodie. Would it be bad form to pull up the hood and tighten the strings? They chose the project, so how bad could it really be? Is it really that rough?
As your boss, let me say I'm not concerned about losing my best developer to the design team.
Jason's face softens, and he leans forward to put his elbows on the desk.
As your friend, I have to ask, what possessed you to insist on this? You're too young to have a midlife crisis and too good at what you do to have imposter syndrome or whatever else makes people think they can't do their job.
First off, imposter syndrome doesn't consider actual qualifications, affects more than half of the professional respondents in most studies, and occurs more frequently in women. Jason smirks as he picks up a pen to twirl through his fingers.
Did you hear that on a podcast?
That's not the point.
Why are you doing this, Ems? You've been on edge ever since you brought this to me, insisting you can make it work.
I slide deeper into the chair. This is why you called me in today, isn't it? Jason hates online meetings and makes me come into the office if our conversation is going to take more than 5 minutes. Letting me know my project is moving forward could have been done via email.
You didn't even pick out your own living room furniture. You had my mother do it.
Your mother is an interior designer. He rolls his eyes.
Only so she can get into the wholesale warehouses and get discounts for herself and her friends when they go shopping.
I stop fidgeting and tilt my head to inspect Jason and gauge how serious he is. Really? But she has a business card and everything.
Her client list could double as her Christmas card list.
Huh. That's actually rather ingenious.
And not the point.
I weave my fingers together inside the cozy hoodie pocket. What is the point? I nod at the screen. Because you said we couldn't spare anyone right now, and I have a lot of work to do.
We can't spare anyone. Every designer, tester, and programmer, including you, is fully booked. At least with this funding, I can afford to pay you a bonus for the overtime you're insisting on.
I can keep up with my responsibilities. Despite a few late nights, I'd been surprised at how few additional hours I'd had to add to my workday to work on the museum presentation.
You canceled the last two game nights.
The first one was a family obligation, not a work one. That had been the night of Amy's party, the night this entire museum business had started, the night I'd left my encounter with Carter, a little sad that he hadn't asked for my number. As opposed to our parting at the museum earlier this week, where I was certain he was going to call the board and ensure I never saw the inside of the building again.
Yet, that's the night you landed this museum pitch.
You're always saying half of business success is networking.
For me and the sales team, yes.
He clicks through to another slide that indicates ways augmented reality solutions could tap into the emotional center of the brain, thereby increasing the chances of a patron having a resonating response to the artwork. I wince as I take in the slide. Did Carter recognize his own words? Probably not, seeing as I accompanied them with a picture of a person on their phone layered over a gallery wall. It looks like she's turned her back on the paintings.
And where did this come from?
Jason waves a hand at the screen.
It doesn't sound like you.
I can be emotional. I slump back in the chair. If I wasn't, I wouldn't have foolishly taken on this project. His eyebrows wing upward at my use of the word foolishly.
We can turn this down, you know. They'll move on to their next choice without a thought.
I know how much Jason has been wanting to get into this market. I know that's why he didn't push back too hard when I told him I was going to do it anyway. When he pulls up the screen, showing everyone's workload and project assignments, I also know he's trying to figure out a way to let me off the hook, but still keep the job. I can't let him take it from me. Not just because it isn't fair to anyone else on the team, but because I need to prove something to my family, and maybe to myself as well. I wave a hand at the screen. I'm supposed to be emotional about art. That's the point. I have to tread carefully here, since all Jason knows about my family is that they exist. For the most part, my work life, friend life, and family life are very nicely compartmentalized. Yes, Jason has a foot in both the friend and work boxes, but that's the only 2 feet he has. He can't be allowed to step into the family one, or the boundaries will break. He's going to keep poking until he gets something, though, so I blurt out, "There was a chicken."
A chicken?
In an abstract frying pan.
What?
I went to an art gallery a couple of months ago. It was very inspiring.
I'm so confused.
I grab the arms of the chair and wriggle and jump until it scoots closer to the desk, and I can reach the wireless keyboard and remote. A click here, and a search there, and the gallery page featuring the works of Richie Reynolds is on the screen. I scroll down until I find the image of a brown chicken beneath swaths of black paint. Jason squints at the screen.
That's supposed to be a frying pan?
He reaches for the mouse and starts taking in all the other mind-boggling combinations.
Why in the world did you voluntarily go look at these things?
My sister is dating the artist. My nose scrunches into a wince, and I pretend to examine my fingernails to disguise it. The last thing this conversation needs is more family interference. I'm not sure what I thought going back to that night would convey, but if it was a hope that Richie's art would sufficiently distract Jason, that idea dies as he returns to twirling his pen and considering me like a fly on the wall. This is what happens when you meet a man at a college gaming event. Discover you have all the things in common. Try to date, only to find neither of you can drive the relationship out of the friend zone, and settle into living life practically joined at the hip, with the exception of hiding him from your family and vice versa. Okay, yes, that is an incredibly specific series of events, but that is the sequence that led to the situation I'm in now.
Fine.
Jason flicks his pen toward the ceramic mug on his desk that holds a highlighter, two pencils, and a replica wand from Harry Potter. It bounces off the rim and lands on the surface of the desk.
You tell me why you're emotionally tied to this project, and I'll tell you why that means we convince Samantha or Pavak to come in on the prototype design.
When I don't say anything, he shoves the mouse and the keyboard to the side, flattens his forearms on the desk, and leans in until he's looking me in the eye.
What's going on, Ems?
Jason has no idea what my family is like, what I'm like with my family. How do I tell him that I just want them to respect what I do? Well, I suppose I could just tell him that I want them to respect what I do. I want my family to respect what I do. I just said that sentence multiple times in my head. It was the perfect sentence to encapsulate my current problems. Why then does it sound like utter nonsense when I say it out loud?
That's nonsense.
Jason points to the now blank monitor.
Do they know how many times I've had to give you a raise to keep other companies from headhunting you?
No. I frown. And you never do that.
I would if you had any idea how much they'd pay you.
Oh, I have an idea. It's almost double. But the benefits don't include having my favorite snack stocked in the break room, even though I'm not required to come into the office. He smiles.
Those are friendship benefits, not work ones.
Same difference. I shrug. I was your first employee, Jason. I'm not abandoning you just because we've grown large enough for the big dogs to take notice.
All the more reason for me not to let you tank your career by being something you aren't.
I can design, you know. I had to do all my senior projects in college. He lifts his eyebrows. He knows my designs got tweaked by other people because half of the time he'd been the one to fix them.
You never talk about your family. I know you've got a sister and they live across town, but other than that, I got the idea you were somewhat estranged.
Estranged isn't quite the word. I blow a breath out and pull my phone from my pocket. Actually, it's not the word at all. I pull up my photos and start showing him pictures of me with Amy, Mom, and Aunt Jade. With every swipe, his confusion grows more and more apparent.
This is you?
He points at the phone. Yes.
But you're not... I mean...
He turns the phone so I can see a photo of Amy and myself from Christmas.
What are you wearing?
I frown, trying to remember what Amy called it. A cow?
Do you mean a cowl? That's the neckline of the shirt, which, I don't know if you realize this or not, shimmers.
I snatch the phone back. How do you know that?
How do you not?
He sits back and points a finger at me.
You're the one wearing it.
Good thing, because you'd look even sillier in it. I'd hated that shirt. It did indeed shimmer. Also, the fabric stuck to my skin, and I was constantly having to battle the extra folds around my neck to keep them lying right. I look at the picture again. My shirt is green. Amy's is similar, but in red. We're standing in front of Mom's gold and silver decorated Christmas tree and showing off the earrings Mom got us.
I was referring,
Jason says,
to what's in your ears. Are they pierced?
I look up and blink. Yes. He stares back at me for several moments.
Tell me again how you just happened to get this museum opportunity.
I sigh. I was at a party. Normally, the silent treatment doesn't work on me. I can sit and let a conversation die awkwardly with the best of them. But something about the way Jason is looking at me, as if he doesn't know me, makes me open my mouth and start spewing out words. Amy was celebrating the launch of her fashion line. The museum guy was there. My mother compared me to a seamstress. They all think I got a promotion and they finagled me into the presentation to impress you. Slowly, Jason reaches for my phone, takes my hand, and places my thumb on the sensor to unlock it. He busies himself with something on the screen before sliding the phone back to me. He's blocked out my calendar for lunch on Sunday. 4 hours?
It's going to take at least that long to unpack any of those statements. Not to mention those pictures.
He stands.
I, however, have another meeting in 5 minutes.
He taps a few times on his own phone.
I forwarded you their acceptance email. I know you know I want this, but...
His dark eyes meet mine. And then he sighs and pulls off the baseball cap sitting backward on his head so he can run a hand through his hair.
Are you sure you can do this, Ems?
I nod because I have to believe I can. Like you said, I've been doing this for years. Some of that design knowledge has to have rubbed off, right? He slaps the hat back onto his head, Bill facing forward this time.
All right, you can keep it.
He stabs a finger at me.
But log your extra hours. I'll find a way to give you a bonus out of the prototype grant money. And if it becomes too much, let me know. We'll figure something out.
After one more considering look, he leaves the room. I remain in his office and pull out my phone. When I open the email, my stomach clenches. They approved my proposal for the grant because mine was one of two pitches with a visual component. Since art museums are largely visual, they liked the idea and want to see if it takes too much from the art in the prototype. By no means is this a slam dunk of a project. Their words are vague, their concerns unspecific, but between the lines I hear Carter's voice. The board may not realize it or want to vocalize it, but they have the same concerns. I shove my phone in my pocket and scoop up my backpack. I might as well work at my desk for the rest of the day. It doesn't see a lot of action, but it's nice to have it when I need it. Samantha's cubicle is 3 past mine. I could go talk to her. I could pick her brain and get design ideas. If I do that, though, I won't be able to say this is my design anymore. I drop my bag on the desk and my backside into the chair. One push of my foot sends me spinning in circles. Just because asking Samantha won't work doesn't mean I can't ask someone else. Someone outside the company. Amy designs clothing, but she'd want to know why I needed design help and I'd have to confess I don't know what I'm doing. The only person who actually knows what is going on with this project is Carter. He cares about the outcome. Is there a chance he'd be willing to help me? Maybe. Is there a chance I'm just looking for another reason to spend time with a good-looking guy who is also an interesting conversationalist? Possibly. Unfortunately, I have no way of getting a hold of him. So far, we've simply bumped into each other by luck. I scroll through my contacts as I spin my chair, hoping for inspiration to strike. My mind can't move past Carter, though, and I don't know which events will put me in his orbit. A sudden thought occurs to me, and I plant my foot on the desk to stop my spin. He said he was attending a charity event this weekend, one for children who need eyeglasses and hearing aids. Before I can stop myself, I open my texts and click on Amy's name. Me. Any chance you have an extra ticket for the Eyes and Ears Gala tonight?